Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 12th of March, recording at 18:20 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, that's about an hour and 40 minutes before the close, I have a function. But there's plenty going on here today to comment on. And here we go. But first, a quick review of the day's highlights. Asian stock markets quietly mixed. European stock markets started weak, but then closed as Wall Street reversed an opening. Well, Wall Street opened unchanged, but then it started to steady after dipping in and out of the plus column. And Wall Street's very strong today, up over 3% on the S&P index. It's kind of been gaining ground over the last few hours. Against that background, the long-dated, well, actually, the U.S. 30-year Treasury bond and the 10-year bond, they're firm, and the European bonds are firm as well. So that's quite unusual. We've got both Wall Street and the U.S. government bond market rallying. In currency terms, well, the dollar's not doing much. The real drama here today is in the Swiss franc, and more on that in a moment, and also the New Zealand, which Swiss franc's quite weak, and the New Zealand dollar is strong. Precious metals are up a little bit, well off the highs. Industrial metals, mostly easier. Soft commodities are fairly strong in here today. And crude oil, that was interesting. Yes, crude's up over $4 right now. Natural gas is up nearly 2 cents. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, as you know, we had really apocalyptic sentiment in stock markets at the beginning of the week. We were deeply, deeply oversold. You just look at almost any stock market index other than China, and it had been just dragged down and down, particularly the Dow, the European indices, the S&P. So quite an oversold short-term situation. And then some announcements started to come out suggesting that, well, things weren't quite all that bad. Trichet, who's no cheerleader, came in and said he felt that people were too pessimistic and that there were some hints of recovery. I think that was huge, as I've said before, psychologically. And there were lots of bears in the market. We know that there had also been some additional capitulation selling from some investors when the Western stock markets broke their November lows. We know that from the angst expressed. So that's the background that really does set markets up for a technical rally, and I think it might well surprise on the upside. And as I've said before, there is a chance, this is very much the best case scenario, best case scenario, that the lows that we saw, say on Monday, were the equivalent of those October 2002 lows, which marked the bottom of the last bear market. Now, as I say, that's best case. Worst case is that this is another technical rally within the downtrend. But let's take it one step at a time. Let's enjoy this rally. Here. Okay, why do I feel this one really could be quite important? Well, obviously it's occurring against from such low levels. I've emphasized on innumerable occasions that the building blocks for a rebound were in place. Building blocks for a stock market recovery were in place. The big missing ingredient was confidence, of course, and hardly surprising, as all this disastrous news was unfolding. And there was more of that today. For instance, the announcement that Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac were asking for another $30 billion. Well, that worried markets initially today, but hey, it's hardly surprising, is it? We have had some better news from some of the more commercial banks overall. And what we need to remember, even if you don't believe the Citibank numbers, and which of us are going to trust or take at face value some of the statements that are made by those firms. But the reality is, at the end of the day, that most of the banks are going to survive. And also, as Warren Buffett said in a piece that I posted earlier in the week, that this is a good time, yes, a good time to be a bank or to be a banker in those firms that are going to survive. They can get back to earning very good returns the old-fashioned, more responsible way. After all, that enabled them to build all those marble headquarters that we have occasionally wandered into during the course of our lives. They're not just dependent on spivvy derivative contracts and fraudulent selling here to earn money. Okay, how am I actually playing it? Well, I've increased my long positions, and I continued to do that here today. Now, there's another extremely interesting development, and that is in the currency markets, because as you know, the yen has been weak recently, and Owen and I have been saying that that is a very interesting development in that it shows that we are certainly well beyond most of the carry trade unwind. That doesn't mean that there isn't further deleveraging to take place in various quarters of the globe, but it does very much suggest that the leveraged carry trade positions have been largely unwound. We may even have the proverbial Mrs. Watanabe moving back into Antipodean currencies fairly soon. They're firming up. The New Zealand dollars are really quite steady in here today. That's an interesting one. I've written about currencies today. So has Owen. We are seeing the Aussie dollar fall back from the top of its trading range against the New Zealand dollar. We're seeing the New Zealand dollar break up above 50 cents against the US dollar. Those are interesting moves. But the stunner here today was that the Swiss National Bank has intervened to weaken the Swissie. And just emphasizing once again what Owen and I have been saying over and over again, that no central bank wants a strong currency. Well, we've been saying that for years, and to the point that we probably bored you to death with it, but it's a basic truth. And never more so than in this environment, when export markets are so challenging, largely because the demand has shrunk so much, and also because of the fears of deflation. So the Swissie, which had been relatively firm, weakened very suddenly. Now, here today. Now that really leaves the dollar as the strong currency holdout, and as Owen and I have said, it suits the U.S. To have a strong dollar for a while because of all the treasury bonds that they needed to sell, and they needed to reassure the Chinese and the Japanese and all of the U.S.'s other creditors that they didn't need to dump their dollars and flee, that they could safely buy U.S. treasuries. Also, I think that they probably realize that the US's rather modest export sector, modest only in the sense that it's contracted so much over the last few decades, but that it probably wasn't going to be able to sell all that many exports in a shrinking global economy. Well, that's the background. But fundamentally, how long can the US economy live with a strong greenback? Not very long, in my view. So I am doing a little baby steps trading, as you know, in shorting it, so you can have a cough. Excuse me. Okay. So, interesting developments in the currency markets. The firmer tone of the Antipodean currencies is very much in line with a recovery in fuller money themes, which have shown the relative strength ever since last October. And I also think that the weaker yen and a dollar that is faltering here at this stage is consistent with a global stock market rally. Looking at precious metals, we have a report, I haven't read it yet, but that a subscriber thoughtfully forwarded, saying that U.S. Treasury Secretary Geithner would not be opposed to the IMF selling some of its gold. Now, I've talked about this for the last couple of years, at least, saying that at some point, you know, the IMF would actually sell some of its gold. Now, it can't do it without the U.S. approving the measure, and that was a signal that it would be approved. Is that a big trend breaker? No, but it's a sort of thing that can weigh on the market for a while, in my view, although it's not doing so here today. Now, I have no idea, as I say, when the IMF might actually sell some gold, but people are bandying around figures of modest size. That's a sarcastic comment, but I think the IMF is talking about needing another $500 billion. Well, that's for starters in this environment. But again, I like the precious metals, but my positions are nowhere near as large as they were a few months ago, and or even a month ago. So one wants to be a little bit careful. These things are going to bounce around to a certain degree. And I think that's pretty much it here today. I don't know. Well, I probably do know in terms of that strength of crude oil. I'll just look at the top news, and perhaps OPEC has decided that they are going to cut supplies a little bit further. Let me just see. That's not on the main headlines. I'm just checking one other source here on Bloomberg to see if I can get a lead on that. Crude oil rises for the first time in 3 days before OPEC meets on output. So that's all we have on that at this stage. And I think that's pretty much it. And I'll just say all the very best to all of you.